I would like to ask a question regarding the previous part of the study that we discussed. Sunniti being the Sikha Guru of Rupa Maharaj, and it says in the purport to verse 32, according to Shastric injunctions, there is no difference between Sikha Guru and Diksha Guru. And generally, the Sikha Guru later on becomes the Diksha Guru. Sunniti, however, being a woman, and specifically his mother, could not become the Guru's Rupa Maharaj's Diksha Guru. So why is that?
Why is which?
Why is it that she cannot become the
Diksha Guru? Okay. See, because you're dealing with the Diksha Guru is a formal relationship. Sikshas doesn't have that formality. So since the feminine nature, you're dealing with a sense of possession, then it fits with Sikshya Guru but not with Diksha Guru. Because even though one would think it's the other way, the problem is because of the sense of possession, then you expect them to do everything how you say based on your emotions, not based on your instruction. You know what I'm saying? The mother may be giving good instruction or not, or know what instruction to give or not, but she expects her child to behave in a particular way because they're her child. You understand? So you can't have that in a Diksha relationship. The point is it's based on Siksha, but it's formalized that instruction has to be followed. But what's happening here, it's not about the instruction. One could say, no, it's about the instruction. No, but then it's about them following the instruction. You understand? So that feminine aspect will come into it, and it's just not supposed to be there. Because then it turns something spiritual into this just whole emotional thing and the control and they don't care, and you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So that can be applied onto the husband, onto the family members, onto the children, you know, onto your house, onto your, you know, community, but you can't do that on this spiritual platform. So that's why then women don't become Diksha Gurus. That's the basic reason. You know, I mean, then there's so many details behind that, just the strength required to do it, and a woman who's protected can really do that. You know? So the point is a woman gets her strength when she's in a protected environment. She becomes very strong, very powerful, outgoing in that. And if that's lacking, she becomes weak. So when she becomes weak, to protect herself, then she becomes nasty. And so then if you combine that with the need that then her identity is based on that, and if you don't follow what she says, you doubt it, then it puts into question her position, her existence, her identity as the Diksha Guru. And so that's going to create so much mental turmoil, and it'll be about her. So that's the whole point. When it's the Diksha Guru, it's about what works for the disciple. But if the woman is the guru, because of the sense of possession, it's always about her. So it's just opposite, it's just incompatible. Now, as the Siksha guru, it can work. Why is that? Because the Siksha doesn't have that sense of possession. So if they follow or not follow, it's one of those. They follow, you have a good relation. You don't follow, then hey, what to do? You know, it's like the grandparents. They tell you some good, they'll always tell you good advice. Right? And you take it. Great. If you don't, it's kind of like, hey, it's my child's problem, not my problem, right? Because they're the child of their child. So if they're going off in the wrong direction, that's their child's business to take care of. They're just trying to help. So that's why then the Siksha position is the strongest. So that's why in the Vedas. So the difficulty is in the contemporary environment is, due to the neophyte mentality, there isn't a proper respect for Siksha Guru, because to have respect for Siksha Guru means you have to have respect for the principle of authority, and that knowledge is the highest. Does that make sense? But in an environment where authority issues is basically kind of standard and accepted as that's normal, and if you accept authority, there's something wrong with you or you're sentimental, right? And then on top of that, when you add into it the contemporary social values from the platform of Pranamoy, you know, from Artha, that these things are of importance, then you can see is that undermines the whole position of what Siksha Guru represents and what needs to be there. So the neophyte mentality, especially when it has the aspect of the modern contemporary pranamoy values, then you can't establish siksha gurus. So only diksha, because then there's seeming the diksha is like, you know, then it's like a, you know, there's a ritual, so there's that formal external relationship. Because siksha guru is based not on external, it's based on the subtle. It's on the knowledge, on the metaphysical. Right? But the diksha, then the neophyte takes it that it's based on the external. You know, it's just like you have any kind of ritual, there's a connection there. And by the external. When you have a marriage, you're connecting the external. Right? You're not connecting the souls. They're just agreeing to work together. Right? It's the external you're connecting. So then that makes it, that one makes it strong for the neophyte, but two makes it weak for them to go beyond that and understand the position of siksha guru. Because if siksha guru is respected, that means all senior Vaishnavas, and especially those who are more close that are giving instructions, would be on that same platform like the diksha guru. Right? Then you wouldn't have a need for trying to bring out this thing based on social values. It's not based on spiritual values. No one should fool themselves on this. It's based purely on social values, modern social values, that the women should be diksha gurus. You know what I'm saying? But the point is right here Prabhupada's saying it, and he says according to Shastra. So that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? But diksha guru is the highest and the formal, but that's within Pancharatra. But higher than Pancharatra is Bhagavat, and Bhagavat just functions on siksha. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is we turn everything upside down to the mode of ignorance. So actually, someone being a siksha guru based on the Bhagavat principles is technically a higher position, but by formality, then they're not. Right? In the formal environment, they're not. So you have to be able to balance these things, and balance is not one of the fortes of contemporary society. It just doesn't know how, because it doesn't know what the elements are. It needs to balance. You have to know what your hands are, and you have to know what those funny little balls or whatever it is that you're juggling. You know, and you have to know the rhythm, you have to know all those different things, and it's, you know what I'm saying? So you have to know, but the problem is you can't even define these things. So then how do you get people? People don't even know what is addiction, siksha guru, and how it fits in the formula, what it means, what's the technical points of initiation, what's the masculine principle, feminine principle, Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, Vedic, how their relationships, all those things. If you can define that, then you can discuss balance. But what we're dealing with is it's thrown out of balance because you're taking a modern social phenomena and trying to make that as a spiritual, you know, how you say, vanguard, when it actually is not. It's just a social, you know, it's a social issue so that people have enough bile to digest lunch, you know. That's basically what its benefit is. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the thing, is that the diksha guru is just not recommended. You can say, no, but there's some examples and lines in history, but who cares if Prabhupada says it's not, and he says, quoting from Shastra, who cares? Because if I say, let's say there's another modern issue that I have examples from history, right? And if it goes against that modern principle, then what will be the point? Well, Prabhupada doesn't talk about it, so we don't accept it. But if Prabhupada does talk about it, and you find an example to oppose it, and it supports the modern, then it's something to discuss. So this is politics. This is not philosophy. This is not spiritual. It's just downright, you can say, equal opportunities. And what does this mean? You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty, is that these aren't defined. And if you try to push the issue, then you just get emotional blow-ups, which is how a woman deals with these things. Right? In other words, if a woman wants something, but if she knows it's logically wrong, as soon as you start to logically approach it, then she immediately just becomes angry and stops talking and stuff like that. That's the natural defense. you know, crying, this and that. You know, she just brings it back to her, so then you have to drop it. Oh, no. Like that. That's just the way it works. And so, and we're going to accept that that's how we're going to deal with such an important philosophical point that Shastra doesn't, that's why Shastra doesn't support it. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, you know? And people may say this and that, and we're not this body and so many things. Yes, we're not the body, but the problem is that the body is the body. We have to understand that. I'm not the body, but the body is the body. And it has a nature, and it functions according to that nature. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. You know what I'm saying? That's like the car is sitting there, and it's a car. But when I get in it, I'm the soul. I'm separate from the car. Now the car can do anything. How does that work? You know? It's only a car if I'm not in the car. But when I get in the car, now it can be anything. The sky is the limit, you know? What do you mean? It's still a car. So whether there's a soul in a body or a soul not in the body, whether the soul is identified with the body or the soul is not identified with the body's still the body. It's just straightforward, logical facts. And so it's not about that there's a problem here. It's a point is, why put women into a position that's unfavorable for them as women? Because say what you want, that sense of possession is going to come up. It doesn't matter who says or what says. And if you say, because the Shastra says one's liberated, then you could do such a thing. But a liberated woman, as pointed out by Vishwanath, not in that context, but he's saying about Varnashram and about how the devotee in the stages of Kanishtha and Madhyama engages his conditioning in Krishna's service. Right? But then when he gets to the Uttama platform, he technically doesn't have to. But he still will, because what reason is there for not to? Right? It's not a matter of prestige. Arjuna, being a liberated soul and eternal associate of the world, is not worried, oh, well, you know, Brahman's better. You know, that's for Vishwamitra. Right? He does that. It's not for the devotees. So when they get to the Uttama platform, they don't have to, but they do to set example. So therefore, it still doesn't change. So that's the whole point, is the system is there because that's how Krishna likes it. You know, that's how Krishna likes the culture to work, because then that particular, you know, closeness and everything can be there. And that closeness is specific. Because if that attachment goes everywhere, what's the speciality? Because that attachment is focused, that has meaning. So this thing where you put the woman out on the street and her attachment goes out to all, and her sense of possession goes out to all, what's special about that? And two, what is it that you're getting? That sense of possession has a meaning. Because the sense of possession is as much control as you can get. So then what is it that the woman is doing to deserve that? You understand? These things go both ways. I generally don't talk this way, because men take advantage of it. But the point is just like if the man is not putting out and really putting in his effort, why does he deserve that reciprocation of the woman? What's he doing to actually, that she's impressed, that his commitment to the relationship is strong enough to warrant that kind of surrender and kind of service and interaction, and that she makes the effort to smile. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the same way, it goes the other way, that sense of possession, that the woman can feel it's her right to have that sense of possession. What is she doing for someone else that is there? I'm the Diksha Guru, but it's going to go for more than Diksha Guru. Everybody's going to feel the brunt of it. The temple president especially, because it's her disciples that are in the temple. And things have to go the way she wants, because she's the guru. You know, it's like the Dzogchenacharyas of the 80s are kid's stuff compared to a woman being a guru. Because the others don't pull an emotional trip. They don't feel. They may get emotional as soon as you point it out. Yeah, right. But you try doing that on a woman. It's not going to happen. So therefore, it's only going to create havoc. And the point is if you do have an exception, which means on the liberated platform, it's an exception. And that exception, as Vishwanath points out, proves the rule. We take an exception, breaks the rule. That's the difference between the Vedic and the modern. The modern, if you have an exception, it breaks the rule. The Vedic, you have an exception, it proves the rule, because there's only this exception. So that shows the rule stands, and the exception is an exception. So therefore, the principle of exception means there's only an exception. You can't make a general rule, women can be gurus. That's against the rules. It's against Krishna, it's against the Shastras, it's against the Prabhupada teachers. And to make it, it's against women. Because you can imagine, okay, how much trouble the men are going to get for this woman guru. Now imagine what the women are going to have to go through. That's going to be, you're going to see riots. You know, and then, now what's that woman guru going to feel when there's a temple where the community doesn't want her to come? And she's got disciples and this and that. What's going to happen? You just tell her that she can't do something she wants to do as an ordinary thing, and there's a total meltdown. Let alone something that's seen on this, you know, you're in the highest position, you're in the, and you can't do something. This is going to be devastating. And then, where is that? Because it's a social issue here, I've said from the beginning, it's social from beginning to end. There's nothing spiritual about it. Because if it's about spiritual and preaching, you do that as a Siksha Guru. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, then, where is the social support for such a guru? Where is that support? You know, who's giving it? You know, where's that? Where are these ideal husbands? Where's that ideal families and communities that are going to support a woman on this great of a meltdown? It's hard enough to find someone who's supportive on just day-to-day little issues. You know, you came out, somebody moved your shoes, you know, and you freak out. You know, let alone, you know, like this, someone moved your disciples or doesn't want you coming to the temple, doesn't want you dealing with disciples. They do that to the men gurus. There are men gurus where they're not allowed to go to certain zones because the administrators don't appreciate how they deal. And they've had meltdowns. And those are men. And those are tough men. I'm not talking about weak men here. I'm talking about tough men. And so now what's going to happen with women? Right? Because her whole sense of ownership has been questioned. And that is the point of strength of the woman. She has that sense of ownership. That's why you have to tell her you love her a million times. Right? But she's not going to tell the man that. He's got to, you know, he should be able to figure that out. You know? But he has to say, so then, you know, everybody's going to have to be constantly telling her how great she is. So, I mean, whose business is that? That's a husband's business. That's a family's business. Father's business. Son's business. You know, close friends, well-wishers' business. This is not everybody's general business, because this Diksha Guru is a formal position. So it's a formal relationship. So that formality does not warrant this. So it's a total lack of understanding the masculine-feminine principle, which is Shankya, third canto. You know? And everybody's, you know, talking like Chaitanya Charitamrita or something. You know, this is the third canto. And the social issues, and how you can't even figure out Varnashram. So if you can't figure out Varnashram, the position of women in Varnashram is a detail. So how is we going to know that? How communities work, how all these things, it means all these things are... If all those are, then you can discuss it. You know? You know, what I'm saying? Discuss it means you can discuss it pleasantly. This kind of thing, you know, we've been talking now for about 5 years, so this goes smoothly. But if you put this into a general environment, you got fireworks after, you know, the first two words. So, Therefore, that's why it's brought up. And Prabhupada's put it here in writing, right in the Bhagavatam. Made it very clear. So it's not our... our business is, why is this? How does it work? Not, oh, this is this, that, you know. You know, Prabhupada's on the bodily platform, or what? Prabhupada's a smarta? Prabhupada doesn't know how to see things according to time, place, and circumstance? That's why we have temples instead of mutts. Prabhupada started with mutts, but because Jadarani was very serious about Krishna consciousness, then he made it temples. Because temples, then you can have women and grihasthas involved. Mutts is only brahmacharis and sannyasis. Like Gaudiya Mutt means the only ones that can live there are the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Grihasthas are not in any way, shape, or form taken care of by the temple or given facility by the temple. They can come and do service, but they don't give a place to stay and this and that. I kind of get the idea that the manager, which much of it generally is a grihastha, he may get some kind of facility from the temple. But that's the manager, and that's it. It's not a place. So Prabhupada made temples. That's already accommodating women. And the principle of how to preach and everything in the community, you know, is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Namhata principle. Like that. So Prabhupada's already accommodating women. But he's accommodated according to the nature. So one has to know is what feature be through something that's informal. That's where the interaction with women is at its best, and women are the most comfortable. The formal environments are not the place where the women are the most comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Because they can only be comfortable if they're the top of the pile. You know what I'm saying? They're you have a big formal event and they're the number one lady there that's pulling off the event or something. Then she can walk around as if she owns the place and everybody's got to be nice to her. It works in that. So therefore, socially it works. So socially it can work as a woman is Diksha Guru, and that she'll feel great. But how does all the other women and everybody else in that party feel about her? They don't necessarily like. A few do, but a lot of them just think, hey, who is this lady? So is that what we want to establish in our society? Does that make sense? So that's why it's said here. And that's just the generic. I go, now, to finish your question, now you add on that she's his mother, then that sense of possession is total and absolute. Husband is yours, but technically you can get rid of him. Right? But the child is yours. You know what I'm saying? If there's a divorce, it's still your child. You stay married as your child, you get a divorce as your child. So where's the sense of possession the strongest? With the child. Does that make sense? So now you add that on top of it, compounded another, you know, 10 or 100 times. Now you're talking about insanity. So that's why it's not allowed. That's all. It's a simple thing. That in no way, shape, or form supports that men deal in the external and deal with women improperly and in an uncultured way and don't give the proper facilities and shelter. That's 100% bogus. And basically you can say the men in the society have failed in this capacity. You know, individuals not, but as a generic in society, the men, the administrations, the management, they've all failed. You know, there's individuals who understand and they do a good job. But as a generic understanding, no. So that has to change. You know? Because this other one is not a solution. You know, just like the men, you know, would deal nastily with the ladies and they'd be calling him Mataji while they're, you know, saying with a cringe on their lip. So now if the men say Prabhu instead of Mataji, now it solves the whole problem? You know, how does that work? You know, you can say Prabhu with a cringe on your lip also. You know, plus you got the boom, so you can spit at the same time, you know. But Mataji, there's no chance to spit. You have to wait for your, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole problem, is external problems it's thought that external adjustments are going to make it all right. That's neophyte. That's childish. Only principle understand. The reason that these details go badly is because the principle is not understood. You know? So it's not that Varnashram is giving a problem. No. Who understands Varnashram? One or two. But the problems of the Varnashram is because people don't understand it. That's why it doesn't go away. Does this make sense? Okay. Yeah. Something that adds some adjustments. No. So it's okay. Yeah.
Mark, yes, I do have a question.
Sorry.
I have a question. In regard to men, because the women, they have this sense of possession.
Right.
So that's what makes them disqualified technically
yes.
for this position.
Right.
Means the men don't have this feeling, usually?
In general, because they can function in that neutral state. The feminine nature, because of its being, Shakti, has to be dependent on Shakti Man. So it has to be dependent. Men could be independent or not. Therefore, the more the man is attached, the less he's qualified. Right? Does that make sense? So just like... If sannyasis were gurus, you wouldn't even think about it. Or brahmacharis or gurus, you know, as long as they'd been around a while and kind of were senior, okay, cool. But if a grihastha was a guru, you'd think about it. You'd think about, okay, what is it, what's his relationship? And you'd watch how he deals with everybody, his wife, and this and that. And if you felt it was good and comfortable, and then you would say, okay, he's okay as a guru. It's just like in the opposite, brahmacharis and sannyasis are taken automatically that they don't really know what to do socially. And grihasthas automatically are taken that socially they know what to do. Then it's a matter of individual. Okay, there's a grihastha that may not be so good socially. There may be a brahmachari sannyasi that does okay socially. So that's the thing, is that these mentalities are already established by the Lord. They're given in Shastra. The modes of nature carry them out. So, therefore, it's not that the man, if the man is attached like that, he shouldn't be a guru. Right? Because, quoting from the previous thing, if the woman is considered bad association, but worse is the man who's attached to a woman. So then that means a woman guru would be bad. A man who's attached to a woman as a guru would be the worst. Yes. So therefore, then you have to just see that the standard of pure devotional service, and then all these things adjust themselves. So the point is, the Siksha Guru, then it doesn't have the formalities. So then, talking, you know, in various kind of natural settings, environments, creating those, then that works very nicely. Like ladies that I know of that I would consider are on the level of guru. Then they do their duties very nicely as Siksha Gurus. They arrange environments in which they can give instruction, but in a way that matches their feminine nature. And it's not that they're sitting in, you know, out of the way. They do big programs and everything, but they do programs on their own terms. If they're doing a program, whoever wants to be there comes. Does that make sense? While if you have a formal thing, the woman is giving a seminar. It's not official. So then who goes? Those who want to be there. So then the reciprocation with everybody is very nice. Right? You have an official temple class. Then everybody's supposed to be there. Now whether they like you speaking or not, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's not going to be very inspiring to a woman. Because the energy may be very low. But if it's a program that it's her program and you're coming to it, then it's going to be high energy. And so it's going to match very nicely. Because the point is the feminine nature is glorious because of the amount of energy it produces. And so that can only be produced if the environment is proper. You know what I'm saying? The man's neutral. So whether it's nice or not nice, it goes up or a little bit or down a little bit. But for the woman, it's nice, it goes up incredibly. If it's bad, it goes down incredibly. So it's not going to work nicely. So that's the whole point, is understanding where each nature has its strength, and then everybody's placed in that position. You know, it works really nice. Does that make sense? So that's why I said, so it's not that, that's the whole point. It's what I'm mentioning are women who are functioning on the platform of Siksha Guru, and they've been like that for, you know, 10, 20 years, maybe even more. Just I've been noticed since then. And people come to them, they take advice on that, but they won't be seen or respected as senior persons necessarily, except for those who accept them. So that's the weakness in the society, is that such senior women are not respected as being senior. You know what I'm saying? So individuals who know them, yes, but outside of that, no. So then what's the... like, just for an example, take Jamuna. Right? She'd go into the kitchen, teach cooking, sit down, talk stories about Prabhupada. That environment, then who wouldn't accept her as Siksha Guru? Right? But to come out of that into the formalized environment, a Diksha Guru, that's going to be against the name. How does she express all these things? What medium do you use? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. So even though it may, you know, you could say no, but the woman can work in the men's environment. No, they don't. They just change the men's environment into a woman's environment. That's all. You know, the workplace, it's a man's place. Right? The woman runs, it's her place. Right? The man runs it, it's his place of work. The woman runs it, it's her place. It's different. You know what I'm saying? The man's the boss, you simply have to do what you're supposed to do, and basically just respect that he's the boss, that's all. There can be zero emotional input or anything like that. No need of sensitivity, just get the work done, don't be crass, right? But the woman, there's the need of being able to relate to her, interact with her properly. Today she's enthusiastic, you deal that way. She's not enthusiastic, you have to deal another way. So the man boss is always the same. So when women come into the quote-unquote men's world, it doesn't remain the men's world, they just make the women's world. And then the men have to adjust to work in the women's world, just like they do at home. And so for men, that's a problem, because they look at things mechanically in the work environment and just want to mechanically make it work. And by doing this, even you say, well, the men need some, but it hasn't improved the nature of the men at all. Other than making them more weak. Right? They're already weak, they become more weak, so they become more self-centered. You know, so they're like, you know, now, you know, before maybe you'd get the guy up to a teenager, early 20s, you know, a good one. You know, now you have 8-year-olds or 6-year-olds. Because they're just so weak. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Women are more powerful because them being more powerful, the environment has to be more ideal, suited, and controlled to accommodate greater power. If I have something that's not powerful, does it matter? I say I have this rock, okay? Does it matter where I put it down or anything? No. What if I have a 1-liter bottle of nitroglycerin? I have to be careful where I put it. I can't just put it down anywhere. What about putting it next to the window so it gets some nice, pleasant early morning sun? Right? Yeah, you might not have a window. Yeah. Fortunately, it was the bay window, so then it kind of went more out like that. You know, so. You understand? Can I just, can I shake it? Can I? No, the rock, I can do anything. So that's the thing. The more power, the more you have to be careful. Right? Okay, let's say I have a cheapo plastic swatch. Do I have to worry about it much? No. What happens if I have something very expensive? Leave it around, drop it, scratch it. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that it's taken that, oh, we're down on women. No, it's actually the opposite. It's that because of the value, they have to be dealt with in a different way. But unscrupulous men who don't understand the culture, but they've been raised by women who don't understand the culture either. You know, who are so-called taken care of, but not really taken care of by men who don't know what's going on. And so in this way, the line, you know, is generated. Then it's no one knows what to do, and so they take advantage. It's just like this. Let us just give some example here. Maybe a stretch, but I'm trying to find something, because in the modern there's hardly any example. Let us say, like you have, you know, the boy in the family, right? And he's at home, he's always at home. So then, naturally, the mother takes care of him, whatever he wants, it's all about the kid, right? So as he grows up, if he maintains that mentality, it's not going to be appreciated by his mother, his sisters, grandparents. So why would it be appreciated by a wife? You know what I'm saying? Why would a woman want to marry basically a man who's got the emotional mentality of an 8-year-old? You know, at the same time, is expecting benefits. You understand? At least the kid with the mother, that part's out of it. So it's just, you know, wants something to eat, or, you know, doesn't want to wash his clothes or pick up his room, she should do it, you know. You know what I'm saying? So then it just gets worse. So that's the problem. It's not about the Vedic, it's not about this or that, it's about the men being untrained. Now let's say the man is trained, you know? Like, let's say he has to work hard. No, that may not work. Or let's say he goes to the army. Right, he comes back, he's respectful, he's learned to respect. So he comes back, he's respectful to his mother. So now, that missing of the son was not ideal for the mother, but what she gets back is way better. You understand? So now that kind of person now can actually have the responsibility to deal in a responsible way with the woman to see that the environment is nicely taken care of. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about, is without training, then none of this works. But the solution to lack of training is not, you know, out of the frying pan into the fire. That doesn't get any better. Does that example make sense? Is that okay? Does that work?
Yes.
Yeah. Now we move back.
Mm-hmm. But can we say that actually, in a broader sense, it's not very healthy for a woman to be authority in any position?
She's not to be authority in any position.
Formal.
Informal. No, I mean, other than she's informal occasions, she's the mother. You have that mix of intimacy and formality. You know? So, yeah, that's the strongest position you can say as woman is mother. But otherwise, as daughter, as sister, as like this, it all, because there's a sense of relationship. That's when the sense of relationship is there, that's when the woman's the strongest. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting. When you have a woman who's always inspired, always doing everything, always is perfectly done, but you can say whatever you want. Okay, take what is it? What is it? Our Tomb Raider lady. Okay, so then, but does she not have money? Does she not have a fancy house with grounds that you can't even see where the end is? Does she not have a committed, dedicated butler that is going to take care at any time, place, and circumstance? Right. You understand? So that's the whole thing. So it's there. So the consistency, you know, it's just like you have an action, you know, film. Do we see the main people eating? Generally not. You know, they're going to sit down from a little, sit there, and so the whole, you know, like 20 minutes goes on the, no, you know, maybe they, you know, who knows, they grab a bite, they're eating out of a can somewhere under a tree or something. Okay. Then sleeping. No. Okay. Defending, yes, because that's what the whole movie's about, and if they, depending upon what they want their ratings, then there may be some mating. Right? But that's just for interest's sake. It has nothing to do with the you know, good triumphing over evil or anything like that. Right? So, they don't get involved in these. So these kind of things. What about going to the toilet? Right? Definitely you don't have that one. Right? So then the, you know, right, tying the shoelaces or, you know, what about cleaning up after, you know, they did something? Or, you understand? No, it's just, everything's just all happening because it's all that. So in the same way, as that's all they do is take those moments when the woman is in good form, and that's what you see on the screen. But how much these, you know, action-packed women behind the scene are not doing well. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So it gives the illusion that no, they're cool. They're always on top of things. No, they're only on top of things if the environment is right. Because as we said, it's just like this: is fire powerful? Okay, but is any situation going to make fire happen? No, you have to have just the right situation. What if flammable is wet? What if there's a heavy wind blowing? But once it gets to a certain level, it doesn't matter what's going on. So that's the whole thing, is you have to create the right environment, then the energy can be shown. Then the women are powerful. So that's the whole thing. And we may complain, but why would we complain? Unless we have the sense that I am independent from God. I am God. You know? In other words, it's not glory. It's just like if a man who's generally situated, I am the controller. If he said, I am the controller, it's annoying, but okay. But if he's, I am the enjoyer, those kind of men are real annoying. Right? Does that make sense? So why would it be any different that the woman is the enjoyer? No one's going to complain. But now she's the controller? Now that everybody gets upset. You know what I'm saying? So somehow or another, it's glorious that the women take on the masculine mentality, I'm the controller rather than I'm the enjoyer. You know, and then somehow or another, it makes it better. It becomes spiritual. That's the whole thing. Is pranamoy by the untrained is considered spiritual. You go out into the forest, you know, you just feel this nature and the power of nature, and you have a spiritual experience. No, you just figured out that there's energy out there. That's prana. Mm-hmm. So that pranamoya is taken as, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just cooperated together? And we take that as spiritual. That's pranamoya. Necessary, but pranamoya. So, yeah. Works. Okay. Yeah. Yes? Is everybody happy? Satisfied. Very good. That was a quote from Cabaret. Okay. So I was wondering, when was it? On Tuesday, when we read through it and it just went by and no question. And, oh, wow, okay. It was too hot. Okay, that makes sense. Now in the cool of the morning. Cool. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's good it came up here because it came out more. Does that make sense? It's very scientific. It means everything is scientific. So you just have to look at that. Then you apply. The whole point is the Vedic is you apply emotions within the scientific field. That way you get the benefit of the structure and the feelings. Well, if you do it the other way, you apply intelligence within the realm of emotion. You just use your intelligence how to express your emotion. And then it can break all the rules. So that's why in the Vedas it says, first you have to learn the science, then you learn the art. Because then you'll balance it.